Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
Travis, I don't even know where to begin. This was one of the most bizarre episodes of Raw I've seen. I wrote in my report on pwtorch.com, and I am starting to question my reality. I feel like I'm in Russian Doll or something. The Netflix show, I feel like I'm going to wake up and relive tonight and watch something more grounded in the reality of what I've come to expect from Raw. This was just weird and not in a good way in almost every way, even though it was intriguing, and I think we have a lot to talk about. What's your out-of-the-gate thoughts here on the show?
I thought it was a bit of a tale of two shows, maybe three shows. It was that first hour and a half, I thought, was really strong. I thought the tone of that first hour or so was really strong. Had a real punch, had a real sports-like feel to it in a lot of ways. It was really good. And then things it was like kind of a fresher feel, the way they were recapping things. It just felt, and then it just felt like the bad things of Raw lately, or always, but certainly lately, just all kind of got condensed in that last hour or so.
I didn't really like much about it. I didn't really like much of the show at all, start to finish. I understand where you're coming from and what you're talking about the show, but like having Triple H, I'm still just stunned that Triple H walked out and started this show. Like, there's so many layers here, but he walked out and started the show. Like, you could open the show with Ruby Riott, because the main event of the show, God, there's so many things I want to talk about. Ruby Riott challenged Ronda Rousey after losing decisively in a match she had absolutely zero business getting. I mean, there's just like zero reason Ruby Riott should get a rematch. She lost decisively the night before, even Steven. And now she comes out there and she's got her two cohorts with her again. They should have done something at the top of the show where Ronda Rousey walked out and celebrated. Ruby Riott walked out, made some excuses, complained, did something to cause Ronda Rousey to kind of lose it and say, I'll beat you again. Just bring it on. And you know, you set something up, and then you spend 2.5 hours talking about it. You get a Rousey promo. You have some people talking about, is this a good idea? You have Ruby Riott laughing at how they goaded Ronda into giving her a rematch, and they've got a plan that's going to work, unlike last night when they got screwed and they had their ridiculous argument for it, but that's what heels do. And you would have this climax at the end of Raw, Ronda Rousey wrestling the day. And what did they do instead? They didn't mention it until 2.5 hours into the show. And Michael Cole said, well, as has become kind of a tradition, Ronda Rousey will be wrestling the day after a pay-per-view. And they did absolutely nothing to build up Ruby Riott. So I hated everything about that. In terms of getting so little out of something that is so important, the women's championship, Ronda Rousey, and the main event on Raw. So you have that. But instead, you have Triple H walking out there going, as you know, I wear several corporate hats besides the international touring brand of blah, blah, blah. It's like, are you freaking kidding me? You're talking about DX going in the Hall of Fame, and we have you, Triple H, in a suit telling us about the third international touring brand, NXT, that I'm in charge of. And then we get the freaking back of the baseball card bio bullet points from corporate people sitting down deciding exactly how fans are supposed to feel about each of these four characters who for absolutely no discernible reason are being brought onto Raw to wrestle in matches that completely undercut the way that you should introduce them, completely take away a 2-year storyline with DIY that the NXT audience deserved to see play out in a natural way. We skipped several chapters after we were told by the announcers that Ciampa is this diabolical scumbag of a human being. And Johnny Gargano is this inspirational Johnny Wrestling. They team together. And the fans don't know what to do. They don't know how to react because there's this, from what they're told on how they're supposed to think, this absolutely horrible, despicable scum of the earth guy team of Johnny Wrestling. And the Raw audience is somehow supposed to appreciate, the Lafayette audience is supposed to appreciate what's happening in front of their eyes against Revival, who are heels, I guess. And then the Revival lose? I mean, like, I could go on. There's And then we get this Baron Corbin Braun Strowman tables match that goes 14 minutes. And it was like, I'm sorry, Travis, that alone made me dislike the first half of the show. It's everything that's wrong with WWE. A guy walking around in a corporate button-up shirt and slacks, taking on, in a tables match, one of the guys who was 6 months ago going to be the damn future of this company, or one of the top four guys, fighting even Steven, a guy that nobody takes seriously, despite Vince McMahon continuing to book him strong. Then you have Paul Heyman doing this just sort of dry introduction of who Brock Lesnar is, and a recap video that they should have pointed people to a freaking website to watch, or do it the week before Mania, when people kind of know it's a recap show. And you've got this audience sitting here watching a video package. And then, I mean,
part one.
So anyway, I'm walking through the whole show here. I am at a loss of what happened tonight, what the rationale was, why they brought all these people on board, how you can have Ronda Rousey wrestle and not mention it till 2.5 freaking hours into the show, why somebody who lost in 30 seconds gets a rematch tonight with no buildup and no backstory. You have horrible announcers telling us how we're supposed to feel about Aleister Black instead of just showing us and letting us discover. Vince McMahon is telling us bullet points about who these people are. I don't get it, Travis. I don't get what happened. It was strange. It was odd. And by the end of it, I am as confused as I was throughout.
Yeah, I don't think it was that bad. No, you bring up a lot of points. Some of them, some of them I could go, well, like I don't remember off this, but there were one or two. But the overwhelming, your points were very, very valid, and you made an argument for it. But there were one I was like, I think they would say this, and they would say, well, storyline reason. I don't understand why those folks were bought up from NXT, like, all of a sudden. I think they could have easily gotten around, like, and you came up with an off-the-cuff thing with Ruby Riott. Why is she getting a rematch? That was my prevailing question throughout every time this was promoted. I just was like, I don't understand why this match is happening. And they didn't even try to explain, which might be for the best.
No, it's not. If you can't explain it, don't do it.
No, totally.
Or hire somebody to write your show who loves professional wrestling and knows how to promote a freaking fight. These people who run Raw and write Raw don't know how to promote a fight. There's nothing sports in their head. They don't understand that to get people excited about a fight, you have to have the fighters talk.
But it's worsened by the thing they said, 6 weeks ago with the rematch stuff. Like, there are no rematches. And that's typically for someone who loses their championship. But Ruby Riott was the challenger and, again, lost in a minute. And then they didn't even do an angle to get her a rematch or try to make some convoluted thing up. But like you said, you probably shouldn't. If you can't come up with something, then you probably shouldn't do it.
They should be in this business. If they can't do a better job. And this was an interesting show in the sense that I'm watching it going, I thought I was going to wake up and go like, oh, God, I can't. I dreamed that just for no reason they brought in four top NXT guys. And they read back note cards. Everybody took turns. Renee, Corey, and Cole read note cards telling us how we're supposed to feel. Aleister Black, his music plays, and Cole goes, oh, yeah. And it's like, Vince yelled that in his ear, but Michael Cole can't do that. You can't have Michael Cole endorsing Aleister Black in his first Raw appearance by going, oh, yeah, and then telling us how we're supposed to feel about him. Cole is the wrong messenger for that. You got to have Black come out and show people who he is. Not against Elias either. He should be against somebody he can beat decisively. You don't cut to a commercial 10 seconds into somebody's debut on Raw. You don't cut to a commercial on a Ronda Rousey match where fans have been trained to think it can end at any second and usually does. Like, the format
it did last night.
Yes, the format of the show is so horrible right now. There's this like framework that they don't even think about. They just drop people in the middle of it, and then you've got the writers telling people how they're supposed to feel about these wrestlers who are being shoved into a situation. NXT fans have to be pissed at this DIY story. Triple H and the whole creative team at NXT have to be going, oh my.
Yeah.
God, what did they just do?
That is something I thought about. Like, how – I wonder, like, how was the tapings – like, what we see Wednesday, is that – how – do they just insert kind of they're just going to talk over and say, it's Fast Monday and blah, 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 blah. But there can't be anything in the show that they've already taped because there's no way, even if they told Triple H last week, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, hey, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to get some of your guys, these specific four guys, on this the Monday, the Raw after Elimination Chamber, so had them ready, blah, blah, blah. Triple H probably can't trust, you know, to do something on his TV, on NXT TV, to go, oh, okay, so I better, on that Wednesday, do this, or have somebody cut a promo that says this. Like, nope, got to keep it generic, and I can't tie myself, paint myself in a corner, because I can't trust that Vince won't, you know, he might just cancel the whole thing, or just, who knows? So that'll be an interesting Wednesday to see how they insert the happenings from Raw.
And then you've got Dean Ambrose, who beat EC3 last week.
He wasn't even
on the show. They beat him last week. Dean got nothing out of that other than made people think, oh, maybe Dean said he's staying, and now Vince is rewarding him, or maybe EC3 said the wrong thing, and now he's getting punished, or who knows? And you know what? It's a waste of time to try to figure out the logic behind anything they're doing right now. Last week was a completely different set of outrage over just, you know, the idea of, you know, oh my God, everybody feared this, and now they're telling the story, and you know, people are outraged. But this was, I still don't And then you have Dean just like shrugging his shoulders and having a set. The biggest reaction of the night was Dean just verbally and visually checking out as a character.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just people laughing. They laughed at Dean just kind of being Dean when he's, you know, doing this cartoonish, oh, my neck hurts because I just lost in 2 minutes to Drew McIntyre, even though I was a Shield member and this should be a big deal. And he's playing off of Seth. It was funny. It was comedy. It wasn't main event. And Dean doesn't mean anything now. I mean, 2 out of 3 weeks, he's jobbed out. If you don't know he's leaving the company, whether you do or you don't, it's hard to take his character seriously now. WWE's not going to make money off of him over the next 2 months other than a mid-card comedy act. If that, I didn't get this. And even Bayley and Sasha, it felt like a dry run, half-speed walkthrough where their emotion was real, but it was like a half-speed, dry run of a promo. We're working on our emotions. You know, we feel the emotions, but, you know, cameras aren't rolling, so we're going to save our energy for when we're on live television. And it just was – when Nia Jax and Tamina came out and said, let's stop, you know, like, please stop. I mean, I that should have been a pop because it just went on and on, and you know, so.
Well, I think legit they – I mean, they even alluded, hey, if you've seen – our social media in the last 12 hours, you know, 24 hours or whatever, it's been a whirlwind of emotions, and I think that's like a real thing. I just don't know if they had anything left emotionally to get through that promo beyond it looks kind of like a walkthrough. Like they cut their promos on all their contemporaries and Triple H and Vince and everybody that's congratulating them backstage all night, text messages, talking to their parents and their uncles and stuff. It's just, and I don't, it's not an excuse, you know, you have to find that place.
Then win your championship and then don't do anything till Raw. Like Raw's where you're making all your money. So no, but like if you're gonna have you could have opened with Ruby Riott and Ronda, but you can also open the show with Bayley and Sasha coming out. It's one of the top stories coming out of the night, one of the two big matches you built around. And I know for people who live in social media, it's like what? Don't bombard us for 24 hours with social media, content celebrating it. But you know, there's something to be said for just hanging low. And then let Raw, where millions of people are watching, and that's where a huge chunk of your revenue comes from, make that the newsworthy moment when you get to see Bayley and Sasha celebrate and not have it feel like instead of a dry run, maybe they were just burned out on talking about it so much for 24 hours and really nothing left fresh to say.
No, I think that's legit would happen or very good possibility, but I think you're being a little tough. Like, yeah, no, don't enjoy the moment with your family and your friends and your colleagues. Okay. Save that for tomorrow for the audience. They should.
I mean,
the argument. No, 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 no. the argument, Wade, is you have to find that place. You can't be burned out, or you have to whatever the actors say that gets them to the dramatic or whatever they're going for, get to that place. That's they just have to be better performers in that way. But to say they should have been denied last night and today and all these things that come with it, I think is a little much.
Well, I had to sit through 8 minutes of them just dying out there with what should have been a historically celebratory moment. And if you're saying, well, it's because they're burned out because they already did it 17 times since last night, I'm just saying if it's a binary choice, yeah, skip all the stuff that doesn't matter and do the thing that does in front of 3 million people that's giving you 45% of your revenue surge where your ratings are dying and you want to have that – let people spend 24
hours. I just don't think, you know, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock last night when they're backstage and all the – if Triple H or Vince comes – I don't think anybody's thinking of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, after tonight's show, they should start thinking of a lot of things. Let's set the table. I'm just sitting there for 3 hours just stewing in thoughts. I just like, what? This is just so weird. It was just this. I kept checking Jason Powell's report at ProWrestling.net, and I'm like, what is he, you know, what's he thinking? He's like, yeah, this is a weird show. I don't know what to make of this. It's just, it's weird, you know? And he'll be on the flagship this week, later on the Weight Killer Pro Wrestling Podcast Thursday flagship. It's going to be interesting continuing to try to make sense of this. But let's set the table. I'm Wade Keller, host of the program. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post show, the post draw edition. And I'm joined by Travis Bryant from the PW Torch East Coast cast. Travis, welcome back to the show. I feel like, you know, you probably feel like you just stepped into this. I don't even know what you would describe, it's what it's like to sit in a cold chair with me just ranting like a lunatic for 15 minutes, but welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me.
No, thanks for having me back. I was hoping, you know, I'm just hoping for a good time. So
good. All right. So, we will, give out the phone numbers. We got people on hold. I want to hear from people. I want to see what's going on. 347-215-8558. 347-215-8558 is our phone number. You can email WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. Dead crowd tonight in Lafayette. They're just not into it. And we'll hear from an outside correspondent to kind of figure out what it was like in the building and if he can figure out maybe what was going on there. So let's take some calls. I'll take a deep breath. I want to hear dissenting views. I am not like I got my thoughts. If you agree, great. If you don't, and we'll talk it through, and I'll read your emails later on. Let's begin our caller portion here with 510. 510, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, how's it going, Wade? My name's O'Brien, calling from Fullerton, California.
O'Brien, thanks for calling. Are you a first-time caller?
I've called one other time, but it was a while ago.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for calling. And what's on your mind tonight? What made you call tonight?
Okay, I'm exactly where you are. That was like one of the weirdest, most randomly put together shows I've ever seen. I just thought the dialogue was kind of terrible, and like I don't know the Seth and Dean segment. Like I liked Seth promo, but then the Dean thing felt forced. Like why are they still interacting? The tag trio segment felt very forced and like, I don't know, I just don't feel like they're showcasing people well. And I feel like Vince kind of just lost like how to book and how to story tell. And like, yeah, I'm exactly with you with like the whole ruining of DIYs, like their whole entrance into the main roster. I just felt like you should have saved that. They're killing it on NXT. Let them be them. And I feel like this is kind of just Vince's own problems, like blowing up in his face, and he's trying to find shortcuts on how to like increase the ratings really fast. And yeah, I just want to know like what are your thoughts on like how they can fix this, and like what do you think like is the immediate like what they should do immediately? And yeah, just wanted to hear both of your thoughts.
Absolutely, thanks, O'Brien. I think this was a show that was an attempt to fix a lot of things that are wrong, and it was, it felt like a panic show. It felt, I mean, I mean, I get that, you know, it's felt like a skeleton crew lately a little bit with WWE. But there's just, I think, much better ways to deal with this. I think it's so debuting Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. I mean, set aside the blasphemy of having DIY reunite under the auspices of somebody who just a booking team and a booking lead booker and Vince McMahon and in front of a crowd that doesn't know the backstory, like that's blasphemous enough. But just set aside how they did it, the fact that you're debuting Ricochet, Black, Gargano and Ciampa all on the same show and just bombarding us with all these biographical facts, and then just throw, like, each of their debuts should have been special. It should have been spread out, or it should have been sort of in a context that made sense, like after a superstar shakeup and they've been assigned. It, like, there's no pretense of brand. Triple H didn't even explain it, Travis. There's nothing to explain.
But wait, Ciampa and Gargano are, like, they've reunited, quote-unquote, already on TV. It's not that this is the first time we've seen, you know.
They stood next to each other, and fans have chanted DIY, but they haven't had that moment where they're like, yes, we're back together.
Because that's the story. Because they don't trust each other, and it's like, oh, you had my back. And Johnny even cut that promo. Like, I mean, I don't need you, but I'll tolerate you. I'll team with you. I'll even in times have your back. But that's not my issue with I don't think they're, quote unquote, ruined or they've hurt.
They didn't ruin them. They just took something special and cheapened it in front of an audience that doesn't know it
The audience doesn't know it, but the audience that does know it, I don't think should be just horrified in what we got. It was, again, them under. They could have their body language to each other in their entrance and in the match could have been a little more weary. But I think that's about it. I think they shouldn't have been in, like, as well oiled of a team. Moves. I just mean in their friendliness and their willingness to turn their back on the other. But you could also say, well, they're not going to ruin this moment, no matter how much they don't trust each other. They trust each other enough that they recognize this moment that they have together, and they're not opposing each other. They're on the same team. They might as well work together. That's just not an issue with me. Go ahead.
Yeah. So fair enough. What about O'Brien's question? Like, what he's not on board with what is going on right now. Is this, like, to me,
the
this seems like,
is he's right in a lot of ways. Like, Vince doesn't know how to do things. Listen to one other podcast, you know, but the guy's talking about, you know, I learned things there that they are not doing. This veteran in the game, one that doesn't like you too much. But he's like, things I learned there, how to tell stories, how to do segments, how to transition from a promo to a backstage thing, how to come out of a commercial break. They're mashing it all together. They're doing too much. They're trying to do too much and, you know, get more out of a segment than they should, and it looks discombobulated, you know, entrances, then you throw to a backstage Becky Lynch talking to somebody, then a commercial, then you come back another entrance. It's like, what is going on? What's happening? I think that goes with the storytelling too. It's not just the format of the show and how things are coming in and out of break and promos and stuff are structured.
Yeah. And this seems like it seemed like Vince going, we need something. You know, we need something. And I think his idea was Lacey Evans and EC3 and Lars Sullivan and Heavy Machinery were supposed to provide that. And yeah, the Lars Sullivan situation, he seems to be down on what the whole EC3 thing now. Heavy Machinery aren't the main event act. Lacey's doing her thing, and that's fine. I mean, they're taking her time with her. That's how you introduce new characters, you know, doing something deliberate with her where you can kind of find out on a journey what you're supposed to think about her and not have the announcers just telling you with bullet points how you're supposed to feel about them and who they are. That's better. It's been more patient. But this sort of was like Vince going, that first thing didn't work. We need four more guys. Give me your four best. Ricochet had a good night. You know, I mean, if you're looking for a bright side, he there's mixed reviews on his interviews, and rightfully so. And it was, you know, it felt to me, I know it's not polished. It's not dynamic. I kind of like having the every guy who the every man who talks like a normal guy, who's just an athlete, who just wants to go out there and be an athlete and win and all that. But, you know,
he doesn't have to be an all shucks guy, but kind of, you know, that's okay. There are all shucks guys who can do fantastically athletic or artistic things.
A cool dude who's not out to score points by spinning cool phrases. He's just out there to go, yeah, this is my dream. It feels awesome. I grew up in Kentucky, and here I am on Raw. This is pretty cool. And, you know, I think fans relate to that because it was real. But Ricochet had a good night in terms of the way they talked about him, and then he got a chance to show it off. He teamed with Finn, which seemed like a natural pairing against two heels, and he got to show off what he can do against a smaller guy and a bigger guy. Like, that was fine. Just if it was just about Ricochet tonight, and they didn't do Gargano and Ciampa, and they didn't do Aleister Black. It's like, okay, we can, you know, and they hyped the Rousey Riot match. And it could have fit together.
Out of the NXT guys, four of those guys, I thought Aleister Black, who's my favorite of the four, had the least impressive debut. His where he springs off the middle rope and does the backflip. He took a step back, like where in a gymnastics thing, and when you stick the landing, don't stick the landing because you had to take a step back to like get your balance complete. It was like, you know, wasn't smooth into his little whatever he does, yoga thing, yoga pose, and I think that was kind of personified like this. Like, yeah, he's good, but like, what's the big deal? And I'm as a fan, I got that feeling of how he was portrayed, and how he just didn't get to beat the crap out of Elias. And like
but you should be beating the crap out of Elias either, because you put all this TV time into him. They shouldn't be facing each other. That you build up. You build that up for three. You build up to an Elias Ricochet match for 2 or 3 weeks, and you have Elias trash talking him, and then you build a segment. You open up the third or second hour with it. You build around it, and you make people anticipate it. But in the meantime, you have Aleister Black beat a jobber, and you don't cut away 10 seconds into his debut. It's just maddening that they have this format, and it makes no sense to do it other than in their head. They go, well, once people are invested in a match, they tend to not switch channels. It's like, get out of the corporate frickin' boardroom and sit down and watch a show and see how invested you are in a match when you lose 3.5 minutes of it when a guy's making his debut. I mean, the Rousey cutaway and that cutaway, just stop doing it. It undercuts the whole premise that what matters most is what happens in the ring. And you have to at least put up a front about that. Anyway, O'Brien, we'll continue to answer your question in various forms as the show progresses. But let's move to our next call. 217, you are up next. Thanks for calling. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Wade, it's Zach from Chicago calling in again. How are you?
Good, Zach. Thanks for calling. So what do you think of Raw?
So just to preface what I'm about to say, I have been very the last couple of weeks, you know, you've had people calling in and being unhappy with the product and all those sorts of things. And I have been one that's sort of been more optimistic about it. Seems to be very few people that actually wants Flair in the triple threat. I just think that there's different things, and all the main storylines I think have been going the right way. So I've sort of, set aside some continuity problems that have been going on the mid card and the lower card. But tonight for me was the thing that, you know, broke the camel's back. I couldn't understand what they were doing. I'm really mad at Triple H that he has let Vince do this to his talent. Like, to have the Revival, who just won the tag team championship last week, lose to his two top NXT stars who, like, have had the greatest feud probably that I've seen in WWE, like, it just makes zero sense. Like, I don't understand what they're doing. And, like, I've heard you say stuff about, you know, Vince has lost his touch, and I was like, well, No, I like the universal picture. I like, you know, the Raw Women's Championship picture. I like what they've been doing with Kofi and the WWE Championship on SmackDown. But, like, they've been hyping tomorrow night. They're announcing Daniel Bryan's next opponent for Fastlane, and I'm scared they're going to say Jeff Hardy because they clearly don't know what they're doing. Like,
yeah.
It's just, I'm like, I've been a fan my whole life. I'm 25 years old. Like, I'm going to the show in March in Chicago. It's one of the lead up shows to WrestleMania. Like, but if they don't, like, if this doesn't get on track by Mania, like, I'm seriously considering ending watching the show because it's just, it's maddening. I feel like I could do a better job booking, and I've just been watching the product for, you know, 15 years. So,
yeah, this to me felt like Vince McMahon reached in a bucket, grabbed a bunch of stuff, and just threw it at the chalkboard and said, "Now make a show out of these new ingredients." And it like out of desperation or frustration or, you know, and I'm curious, and I, you know, we'll find out through various means, you know, how much notice did these guys have? You know, what was the move that led to Vince saying, "Yeah, let's just debut 4 more NXT guys." On the main roster, rather, I mean, they, like, yes, Triple H standing in the ring and saying, "This is, you know, here's four of our top stars." That's fine, but it was so just like out of the blue, like it didn't fit kind of the structure of how they do things. It felt like reaching a bucket and throw it on a table and say, "Let's get a better Raw than we've had lately by injecting some new life." And you can't rush that, you know. You've got to have patience and. Yeah, patience and tell the story and let it unfold.
It also, Wade, hurts the night after Mania that they did this with no, because
yeah.
That's where you anticipated, that's when you expected.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I've already seen, you know, I just don't think that part of it, like whatever they did once they were there, but the idea that they just, that like you said earlier, this earlier thing wasn't working. They, Lacey Evans, Heavy Machine. That's not enough. We need some real, you know, real deal TV ready, main event ready type talent, and that's what we got. Luckily, like it was alluded to, like by Ricochet in his promo, like this isn't. They're not going to be on next week. You're not going to continue this. There's no storylines coming out of that, at least, that are going to continue in the very near future. Yeah.
If I could just add to that, you know, and you're talking about it and they said that, then what was the point? Because,
yeah.
Like...
No, yes. I don't agree with the whole thing. Like, don't bring those guys up and just randomly with no build, no reasoning. Oh, is the night after Chamber going to be a friggin' thing now? That doesn't make any sense. Period. To start. But yes, once you get there and you can, you know, break down the action and promos and all that stuff. But yeah, I didn't like the idea in the first point. But luckily, again, they didn't say, okay, these guys are on Raw now. They go away and we get to maybe see them the night after Mania. But
in a way, it's just like you took away a moment when they debut and now you've, but like if they're not on again, think about the finishes. You know, Elias lost. Now he's diminished. And the revival, if they're not an integral part of Raw between now and Mania and aren't a big part, why did we do this? Like, I don't think we should congratulate them if we don't see them again for 2 months. Like, what a weird chapter in the history of Monday Night Raw that the third true international touring brand I just don't get it.
I literally didn't see the first 7 minutes. I turned it on, and he started playing the baseball card, back of the baseball card videos.
Yeah,
which I thought were okay again for what those were. I mean, what they showed.
Let us tell you how you should feel about. Let us tell other people who aren't cool enough to know who these people are, who these people are, and exactly how you should feel about them. And we'll have Michael Cole do it because we know that, you know.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, like, to have them come in, and like you said, Wade, they all went over tonight. Like, it not only you know, I mean, all of the NXT call-ups that came before them, like, who are they now? Like, they're just, you know, automatically, well, they've been outshot, you know, these new people have come in and done it. But, like, I'm not even arguing that those four shouldn't be on the main roster. Like, they should absolutely be on the main roster. You know, Gargano and Black were on the Royal Rumble. Like, if you were going to do it, just, like, the night after the Royal Rumble, they're on the main roster because they've done what they've needed to do in NXT. They could have moved on, but they just, like, they want to eat their cake and eat it too. It's just, it's maddening. Anyway, I haven't really asked the question, but what I wanted to ask is, what do you think about the fact that they made no real, you know, Triple H didn't really mention, you know, he said, oh, what, you know, Becky Lynch did was, you know, badass, and, like, I kind of liked it. But, like, when I read, and I read up beforehand that the NXT call-ups were, like, backstage and stuff, so I thought, I think one of your callers mentioned it last week, Wade, that, like, Triple H was, you know, pissed that Vince did that, and, like, it was going to be a takeover type thing where, you know, he's going to bring in his band and, like, take over, and then they just did what they did. So,
yeah.
One, do you think that anything's going to happen with the whole Vince, you know, angle? And, like, I'm glad that they're not going to be, you know, putting Becky on every week, because then obviously, you know, it's what is suspension. But I just, you know, they didn't make any mention of it, and I'm worried that, you know, things are just going to continue like this.
Yeah. Well, having Triple H go, if you do that again, Becky will be arrested, but on a personal level, I thought it was pretty cool. That is so the epitome. That encapsulates the awful Triple H character. Now, there's, like, three good Triple H characters, but the fact that there's three distinctly different ones makes him horrible. And this idea that, like, he's both a corporate suit and thought it was pretty cool, it's like trying to have it both ways, and you can't do it. And he can say, well, I think our fans are smart enough to tell the difference between social media personalities and on-air personalities. Coming from him, you don't know what to expect. Yes, the Triple H and authority guy with Stephanie last week should be fuming mad this week that he was overruled or emasculated, or he should be laughing at Becky as a heel for taking her on a ride last week. But there's no follow-up. We don't know how Triple H felt.
One or the other.
Yeah, like, we don't know. Like, was he in on it and snickering, or against it, or there's a third option, which is he just doesn't care. And I think the viewers are going to stop caring if you have this major twist, Vince McMahon overruling Hunter and Stephanie, and then a week later there's no follow-up. I mean, I just, like, my jaws dropped that this is considered acceptable at this point. It's like, this isn't how you tell stories on television about in any genre, and for pro wrestling, it's awful. I'm continue to be stunned. You know, 40 minutes after the show ended, 45 minutes afterwards, I am stunned at what we watched and what's going on with the writing of the show week to week. I thought it was 25th Amendment time, storyline-wise, and perhaps in reality last week, and this week just felt like a panic move that, I mean, in 3 weeks, if it makes sense, great, but that's not – nobody can look at me and say, you ought to give it 3 weeks, because their track record shows, you know, things that don't seem to make sense come together. You know, that's not how they book now, other than one or two storylines, and even those have glitches. But that's not what's happening here. This isn't a master plan.
You sure?
How about you, Therese? All right. Zach, we got to get to some other callers. Any closing word from you?
No, I agree with everything you said. And you said there that, you know, the fans don't know what to cheer for and what to boo for. I'll just leave it at the fact that Tommaso Ciampa was a face. Elias was a heel. And they just don't get it, and it's frustrating, and I hope it turns around. And Wade, I'll send you an email that I'm going to be in Chicago in March, and I can be a live correspondent.
All right, Zach, thanks for keeping the tradition alive. Thanks for keeping the tradition alive. When I said, do you have anything else, the caller says no.
I said no.
I don't,
yeah,
and then. And then they go on for 30 seconds or something else. It always happens. I'm not against it. I like the tradition. It's fun. So thank you for that.
Thanks,
good point.
Fellas.
Yep, you bet. All right. Up next, 310 and then 419 on deck. 310, you're on. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, guys. It's Chris representing Los Angeles. How's it going?
Going well. Having fun. They give us a lot to talk about today. What's on your mind?
Yeah, every time I call this show, the opening parts always crack me up with the banter. If you could bear with me for a second, I have a couple issues. One with the show last night that you did. It was a great show, by the way, on the recap show with Elimination Chamber. And then the first thing is WWE seems to suck so bad at the moment that free agents don't even want to go there. And that's, to me, that's just kind of insane. It's like you got all these wrestlers that are trying to find out. It's like, to me, it would be like if a competing NBA league came out that was started by a billionaire that had no proven track record of anything, and kids out of college wanting to go there instead of the NBA. That's kind of how I see just the cycle of things going right now in that company.
And it's one thing if wrestlers feel that way, but the people buying tickets don't know it. But when you watch this show, it's like it's possible, Chris, you're inadvertently or strategically tapping into it. This might have been Vince just kind of wanting it, or somebody suggesting to Vince, we need to make Raw seem like a show with the young, cool, athletic wrestlers. Place where the buzz generating stars, Gargano, Ciampa, Black, and Ricochet, this is where they are. This is where they want to be. And when you think about the options, these are the Raw wrestlers who were not on Raw tonight. Apollo Crews, No Way Jose, you had Rude and Gable in a brief backstage segment, Dolph Ziggler, Jinder Mahal, Sami Zayn still out injured, the B team, Bray Wyatt, wherever he is, and AOP, one of them's injured, The Ascension, Tyler Breeze, and Heath Slater and Rhino. So it's not like the four NXT guys displaced talent where you're like, well, God, I mean, you know, why would they take away the momentum of those guys? Or, you know, they would have been like, this is a sad Raw roster, but there's a proper, you have to realize that and build up to it in a proper way where there's some semblance of context and sense to doing it. But Raw did suddenly feel more contemporary, more athletic, more cool, especially if you weren't listening to Michael Cole read off a card how contemporary, athletic, and cool everybody was.
Yeah, it really seemed phony as what all. It didn't seem authentic at all. And it just goes more to what you're talking about. Like a guy like Pentagon and Phoenix, after you've done everything you can do around the world and on the indies, you should automatically want to go to WWE. That's what WWE is supposed to be. That's supposed to be, okay, I've proven myself everywhere else. Now let's go to the big leagues. And the fact that these guys are choosing to go to this AEW that hasn't even announced a TV deal yet, I think it says something about how out of touch WWE is at the moment, that you're not able to lure these guys in, even a Kenny Omega. Like I thought, years ago, if you would have asked me in 2016, 17, I would have thought it was a no-brainer that this guy's going to be in WWE once all this New Japan stuff settled. And, you know, it's I don't know. Anyway, if you could let me – just one more thing I wanted to say, and then I'll, be gone. I was listening to your Elimination Chamber review last night and the talk of Kofi Kingston. And I think for a guy like me, for a black wrestling fan, I don't think Kofi Kingston is just another throwaway guy like, you know, your Dolph Ziggler's or Jack Swagger's or just anybody. I think he represents a culture. Because we don't really get that many, like, black wrestlers winning WWE World titles. The only one I could think of is The Rock. And it's like, for a black wrestler to reach that level in WWE, they have to be The Rock. And for a white wrestler to reach that level in WWE, it could be The Miz. And I think
I think Jack Swagger or somebody is the better example because Miz is a talented guy. Jack Swagger is, I definitely get your point.
Well, I want you two to stop talking about this so I can tell you how to. Travis. This is off topic, but Travis, I do want to throw you. I mean, it's not Rob. We'll talk about this tomorrow. We'll have an announcement tomorrow, probably on SmackDown, about, you know, what this Kofi thing means. It seems like it's caught fire in the last 24 hours. It's not something that was just like fun for a moment. What do you think about what's going on with Kofi right now and what Chris is saying about it?
Yeah, I'm hoping, because SmackDown is typically, you know, just better than Raw in pretty much every way. Typically, and you don't have to be blockbuster to be better than Raw in every way these days. But they're consistently a good show. They go with what's working. So I think the creative team on Raw or on SmackDown is going to go. Of course, we're going to go with Kofi. He's the hot hand. I'm not saying he's going to beat Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, but he might be in that. He might be the guy because I think things are lining up for him to be there. There's no obvious opponent for Brian. There's nothing that's going to peak in a month or two. That's already Mustafa Ali, you know, a month ago might have been the way things were going could have been, but Kofi certainly. So I think there's a good chance we get something good out of this.
I mean,
just simply based on the crowd responding to him.
Yeah, this is like just kind of organic. This isn't Michael Cole telling us this is Kofi. I don't mean to pick on Cole, but I kind of am because it was just a bad night in that regard. Tom Phillips. This isn't Tom Phillips saying telling people how hot Kofi Kingston is right now. This was this kind of organic thing that happened last. I mean, he was given the space to do it, but he rose to the occasion and then surpassed expectations. And it really, it goes back to that Orton Kofi match at MSG where it was like, come on, there's something there, but it wasn't part of Vince's plans, and he just sort of ignored it. There's not this obvious other match that Brian should have. So go with something that just is. This happened. Rick Steiner got really hot in WCW at one point, it was a match you could have made some money with, and they steered away from it, you know. And I mean, there's these examples in history where you just do it when it feels like the fans want it, listen to them and do it. Plans, you know, whatever the plans are, just set them aside.
Yeah, and again, because nothing is super obvious, it just makes even more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. My problem, I have no faith that they're going to do anything with Kofi Kingston. I'm glad a brother like Travis can be optimistic for me. But I just don't, like, they've done this too many times with black wrestlers.
If this goes back to the 80s, sure.
Guys like Junkyard Dog, you know, where they would, for the IC title, where, you know, it was like, this guy Junkyard Dog is a bad example. What about Booker T at WrestleMania? What about Mark Henry salmon jacket and did his whole little thing? I thought that was the best tying to put the WWE
but his body was
off
the falling apart. Booker T is the most egregious one because not only was it like story built up, they were like hitting them. They were like the Triple H just being a total ticket for a month, and everything was set up, and then they pulled the rug.
Yeah, and he was saying,
but Mark Henry didn't stay healthy. You can't body falling apart. You can't blame him for Junkyard Dog not being able to keep shit out of his nose. You just, you know,
they were both doing the same thing. It's not like Junkyard Dog was the only one on the nose.
There's not, and
All right, Chris, call the East Coast Cast this Wednesday and continue this. But I want to get to a few more calls, and we have our on-site correspondent who's staying up late for us. So, Chris, I got to move on. It's not a raw discussion. It's a good discussion, though. So call Wednesday. Extend this conversation, or call us tomorrow when the news breaks and we know what's going on. Thanks, Chris. I hate to cut you off, but we really got to keep moving here. Now he's been totally, totally unfortunate. All right. 419, you're up, and then 580, by the way, you're up next. 419, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, guys. It's VIP member Denny from Toledo. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling, Denny. What you need to call?
First I want to say you guys haven't really plugged the East Coast Cast much, so Travis, I'm a big fan. Glad you're on the show tonight. I just want to say it's so obvious that Vince wants to be like a Hollywood show. He wants to be less professional wrestling, more Hollywood show. And
He's going about it the wrong way.
yeah, exactly. And I feel like they're, he should take a big part of how they do Hollywood shows, and they need to have a continuity expert, like someone whose complete job is just to focus on continuity. I've worked on film sets before, and we had one person who was right there to make sure everyone was in the right costumes, make sure that things were in the right spot, to make sure we had no continuity errors. And I feel like the WWE just exactly.
Danny, hold on. Do you know how pissed off Vince McMahon would get at that guy in the first week? He won't last a week. Vince doesn't want to hear facts about continuity. He wants to rewrite the show based on his gut instinct when he wants to yell at the writers for putting a crap show on his hands on Monday afternoon. You're totally right. But reality is this is 70-something-year-old Vince McMahon with a history of tearing up scripts and lashing out unpredictably. And a continuity guy trying to logically explain to him why a wall won't work, I mean, why continuity is important, is not going to work. The answer isn't trying to add somebody to the conversation with Vince. It's larger than that. But that said, you're right. I just have to inject some reality into this that, unfortunately,
I
just don't see Vince possibly.
I agree. I just feel like if that's his goal is to be Hollywood, he needs to take Hollywood's advice and do that. It's so frustrating because, I mean, one of the biggest examples that jumped out to me tonight is last night they had this no disqualification match, and Baron Corbin had his friends come out and beat up Braun Strowman with him. And unless I missed some sort of stipulation where they were banned from ringside, but I don't think I did. They have a tables match where, again, it's no rules, but these guys are nowhere to be seen, and they don't come out and help Baron Corbin tonight. It's like, I feel like somebody in that spot would be like, hey, Vince, why? What's the point of having this? Or they need to at least address the fact that these guys were banned from ringside.
That would be so good. But if that were possible, we wouldn't be where we are today. Vince isn't going to listen to the continuity guy and go, oh, yeah, that's a good point. Let's come up with a creative way to solve this. How can we address this? That's not Vince McMahon.
I know.
So you're totally right. And your example is shining a spotlight on what's totally wrong, which is Vince doesn't think that stuff is important. He's unaware that it is a thing. I don't know what it is, but he's not going to sit there and listen to some guy come in who watches television and pulls out the nerd chart that Vince McMahon's going to make fun of him for caring about. That's unfortunately not who we're talking about, but you're totally right. That would be, if you were to come up with one thing that you just had to force Vince McMahon to just grit his teeth and deal with, it would be exactly what you're saying. Somebody who would inject logic and continuity and ask the questions people at home are asking, and realistic that Vince was going to put up with that at this
point. Like a political bureaucrat who has he doesn't say, I like this, but, or this isn't a good idea. It has nothing to do with quality or personality or anything. It's just like, hey, this happened 2 weeks ago. Now you're saying this. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Right. I'm sorry to cut you off, Travis. I listened to so many of your interviews with creative team members, and one of the most frustrating things I can hear them say is when they would bring something up like that, and Vince would say, no one remembers that. It's like, we do. We, as fans, we do remember that, and it's insulting to us.
Like, what's the point if you're not going to remember? why are we doing any of this thing?
And that doesn't happen.
Like, nobody's going to remember this. Like, well, why would they not – why would they keep watching? Like, what's the point of writing a new – It's that's a jump to somebody saying that.
Raw's not supposed to be cotton candy. It just melts in your mouth and it's gone and it was fun. And now next week, more cotton candy. Like, it's tied together. There needs to be the crescendo that builds up over time, and it's not there with Vince and the Probe. And I think, you know, it could be Vince just doesn't remember, so therefore remembering isn't important. You know, he's just at a point where he's not reviewing the show. He's not being reflective. He's just like, what do I have to do to get through this week? And then it's on to think about the XFL, his legacy, and revenue figures. And he's not serving the fans. And a lot of big companies have gotten into big trouble when they take their eye off the quality of the actual product.
Yeah, I mean, and imagine go ahead. Yeah, y'all know you got to go.
go ahead, Denny. Just final comments for you.
Imagine, you know, watching The Walking Dead and a character dying, and then they try to bring him back 3 weeks later, and the executive producer's rationale is no one remembers it 3 weeks ago. I mean, it's just – it doesn't make sense.
Or at the beginning of the show, the showrunner steps out and says, as you know, we have the spinoff of The Walking Dead, which is – what's it called? The one of The Walking Dead?
Fear of the Walking Dead.
Fear of the Walking Dead. And he's like, as you know, we have all these other characters on this other international HBO AMC show, and we're going to bring some of them in, and they're going to interact with the other characters.
Touring AMC brand.
Yeah, whatever, you know. But, I mean, they just corporate speak, and they just bring these characters into The Walking Dead and go, let's have them mingle for a week, and then maybe 2 months later we'll bring them back. It's like, it's not that bad, but it's not entirely different either. It's stupid. It's disrespectful of everything.
When he says he's trying to be Hollywood, it's like, well, you're doing that all the wrong. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Not anything.
Community theater. Yeah, community theater folks have more more respect for their audience. And boy.
Denny, thanks for calling. Thanks for being a VIP member.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, we'll do 5801, and then we'll do one more call, 337, and then we got to get to our on-site correspondent, who is patiently standing by. 580, thank you so much. State your name and where you're calling from.
Chris, VIP member from Rattler City, Oklahoma. And
hey,
Travis, I agree with everything you were saying, but I want to say this. It felt like a post-WrestleMania show, but it wasn't post-WrestleMania. And that's not taking anything away from these two guys, because I want to tell you that whenever I listened to a review of NXT, I actually bought the network to buy NXT because I was wanting to see what all the hype was about. And I'm seeing Aleister Black and I'm seeing all them. And I'm like, wow, you know, this is amazing, you know. And then I'm like, you know, why are they calling them up? Now champions, I mean actual champions right now from on the roster, calling them up for now, and I mean no build up, no nothing, just calling them up for one-offs, and it's like, I mean, they didn't do Aleister Black any justice at all tonight. I mean, they actually, to me, hurt his character more than helped.
Yeah, if anything, he stayed – the best case scenario is he stayed even, and it's like, well, why'd you – you don't debut a new character for them to –
He can never debut on Raw again for the first time, and this is what they did. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not upset that Raw wasn't more interesting than if No Way Jose was on and we had Jinder Mahal doing something. Of course, this was a more interesting show, much more spirited discussion, and I'm in the business of podcasting about shows. They gave me a lot.
Why wasn't Jinder Mahal in that spot? Like, to do the Shanti thing, and then the match is over.
or one of the Singh brothers. Let one of them just take
No.
Go ahead.
Like, I think
build up to that next week.
Or not stylistically, but like, just, you know, gimmick-wise, it works. Like, it doesn't work with Elias. Like, he's not a headbanger, like, guy. He just listens to music.
Oh,
and it's
totally, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That should have been
Jinder. Travis, I get what you're saying, but you shouldn't do Aleister Black and Jinder Mahal on week one because you should get more out of it. That should be week two or three. Have one of the Singh brothers lose to Black. Have Jinder shove one of the Singh brothers in the ring and claim he sprained his ankle backstage. And then the next week is another Singh brother, and Aleister Black establishes his moves and dominates. There's no commercial break 10 seconds into the match, and finally Jinder is told by the authority figure, you must get in the ring with Aleister Black or hell. Yeah, and then he gets in, and then he cheats, and the Singh brothers interfere, and he gets himself intentionally disqualified, and then the next week he has to do it. The Singh brothers are banned from ringside, and you anchor a segment with it. You've had 3 weeks of building up who Black is. Fans have their anticipation built up to see Jinder get his ass kicked. The Singh brothers aren't at ringside, and Black destroys him. That is 4 weeks of getting something out of this, instead of this ill-fitting, as you're saying, Elias thing, out of the gate where they cut to a break 10 seconds and just – this isn't hard. That's
the unforgivable part to me. Like, no matter what you do, how you debut, or who you debut him against, cutting away from
Ronda Rousey.
Anybody. I don't care.
I get it. If you're 8 minutes into a match, I think you can have sort of viewers go, they probably had a hard break. They had to take this match. It's going along. Like, you know, that's kind of in your head. As you know, if this is a real sporting event, yeah, we kind of got to break away here. It sucks, but we do. But when you're 10 seconds into a match, or you're in your main event with Ronda Rousey, like that's just all it does is it makes viewers go, oh yeah, they think I'm so invested in this, I won't change the channel. Well, F them, I'm gonna flip channels. I mean, all right, one more call, then we got to get to our onsider. 337. Thanks for holding. Oh, by the way, thanks, Chris. Sorry, Wade, to rush through.
Are things worse? Sorry, Wade. Are things worse now that they have no overrun and that they absolutely have to have a 11 o'clock Eastern sign off that they're going to breaks and stuff, doing that kind of stuff, it's now, it sucks now even more.
No, nothing that happened can't be fixed with a hard 3 hours. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, yes, it would be easier.
They have the time, totally.
Yeah. No. All right, 337, go ahead. State your name and the city you're calling.
It's Brad. Brad calling out of Lafayette, Louisiana.
Hey, Brad, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
What's happening, Brad?
How's it going, Travis? Real quick, I was at the show tonight. I'm pretty certain y'all could hear on the TV that the crowd wasn't too into a good portion of the show.
My man Shahid said they make the Anaheim crowd sound like Chicago.
Man, the number one thing that I gathered from talking with fans around was most of the people just assumed after everything that happened that Becky wasn't going to be there. So they were kind of down going in.
Yeah.
And especially going into the main event, when we looked at the clock and we see how much time we have left, when the pinfall happens where, like, the arena felt deflated, and I'm going to assume it's because they realized we really aren't getting Becky. And I went to Raw for two reasons. One, Brock Lesnar was advertised in our area, and I wanted to see Becky Lynch, and I didn't get either. And it really blows. I actually emailed to being on site correspondent as well. But yeah, that sucked. Not getting either one of the two people out there. I will say was, however, happy to see the NXT call ups. But it would have been a lot better if I got just one and not an ensemble, because it feels just like whenever Sasha, Becky, and Charlotte was all called up, a good bit of the people that was there didn't know who any of these people were. They, best, according to the reaction over there, Ricochet should have been the only one that came up, because he was the one I felt got the best reactions.
Yeah.
Of everybody. So,
Brett, out of appreciate you calling. Out of fairness to our outside correspondent, who's been waiting an extra half hour for us to call, I gotta get to him. Thank you for especially just noting that Brock and Becky were advertised and they didn't deliver. But we got to wrap this up and get to our planned correspondent. But next time they're in Lafayette, let us know a little more ahead of time, and we'll bring you on as the guy. Okay.
Gotcha. No problem. Y'all have a lovely
night.
Cool.
Thanks, Brett. Yep, you too. Thanks so much. We're going to break away, come back, talk to our onsite correspondent. I got a lot of questions for him. Brad helped set the table for it. So we'll be back right after this with that.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on.